Our reading this morning is from Matthew 5. You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It's no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Thanks be to God.
I forgot to say earlier, what have you done with the sun? When I set off this morning, I set off in blue sky, sun 22.5 degrees. I arrived at Chard, it's 18 degrees and cloudy. What do you do with it? Sorry? All right, you're on fire. That's okay, that's right. But it's a privilege to be amongst you. I've chosen a passage, I felt really led to preach on this passage, and I'm not quite sure why. But, you know, hopefully it will speak to you. It's a very well-known passage. You will know that passage, most of you, very well. You've probably heard it preached on several times. And if you are one of those people, I want you to believe and just put all that aside and just think that you're at the foot of Jesus listening to it for the first time. Because I've preached on this on numerous times, and I want you to do exactly the same. So on Friday when I sat down at my desk, I opened up the scriptures. And I said, Lord, give me something afresh, something new from this passage. I feel really called to preach this to the people of Chard. I don't know why you do. The Lord opened up the passage in a new way for me, and I hope it will be for you. And I hope that you'll be able to get something out of what the Lord's given me today, and hopefully it's good for you as well. I'll read that passage again. Thank you very much for reading it. You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It's no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A town on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither people put a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand and give light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that he may see the good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. The passage is all about salt and light. We're going to do both. We're going to spend a lot more time on salt than we are on light this morning. So often you spend a lot of time on light, just flick through the salty bits. But we're going to cover the salt. I want to ask you a question. Have you ever eaten something that's missing a key ingredient? Yeah, you've been out one of those meals, just missed that key ingredient? I was invited a couple of years ago. I was invited out, it was just pre-pandemic actually, invited out for a meal. And it was a hot summer's day. And as I was driving to this place for a meal, I was hoping and praying it wasn't going to be a hot meal. And when we arrived, they said, I hope you don't mind, we've done a Nichois salad. Yes, my favorite type of salad. But they served it and something was missing. It was a key ingredient that was missing. Shall I go through the ingredients of a Nichois salad? Lettuce. Olives, seared tuna, French beans, new potatoes. You can have tomatoes, red onions, and boiled eggs, and a lovely vinaigrette. What's missing? Anchovies. That small ingredient, that salty ingredient that makes all the difference. And it was missing. Do I say anything? No, I was far too polite. But anchovies, you can't have an Nichois salad without anchovies. That little bit of salt makes all that bit of difference. And sometimes it's that really little bit of salt in a meal, isn't it, that makes the difference. Not like they see on TV, you know, the TV chef programs where they go, oh, you need a bit more seasoning. You know, they just invade the whole thing with salt or pepper. But just a little bit can make all the difference. But that made me think and made me think about the principle about today. The question I want to ask you this morning, what kind of taste do you leave in the mouths of other people around you? What kind of taste do you leave in the mouths of people around you? If you are the ingredient that makes a difference, what kind of taste do you leave in their mouths? Have you ever thought about that? I've got to be honest, I don't think about that on every day. But when I was preparing this, it made me think about it. And our text goes on to say, when the salt has lost its saltiness, it's worth nothing, right? It's worth nothing. How many of you, put your hands up, you like a bit of salt on your fish and chips? Yeah, of course you do. Why? Because it makes a difference. We like the right amount. But what kind of taste do we leave in other people's mouths? And for me, I'm an avid follower of social media. Yeah, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter feeds. I don't tweet, but I watch it. If you're into social media, you realize they don't even care about the salt they leave in people, taste they leave in other people's mouths. They can say what they want and be really aggressive and rude, and there's a real dark side to social media. And they will say things, and people will say things in emails and never say to them face to face in person. There's a danger with that. But Jesus says very clearly, I want you to be the salt. So the key principle I want to focus on is, what does he mean by that? What does he mean when he says, I want you to be salt? I'm going to tell you, it's all about relationships. I'd like to explain what I mean. Well, I've often preached on the passage about being salt, and I've used it with that evangelistic term. You need to be salt in the world. Everyone needs to know Jesus, and it's an evangelistic thing. It is partly. But when I started delving into this passage a bit deeper, I found out actually it's a lot more than that. It's about relationships. It doesn't start with salt. Your salt, Nigel, you need to go out. It starts, Nigel, with your salt, you need to build those relationships. Let me unpack why this is so critical. What I discovered this week in 2 Chronicles 13:18, it's a reference known as the Covenant of Salt. And the Covenant of Salt was where two people were committing in a friendship together, would sit down in a meal, and they'll secure that friendship. It was not a casual meal. It was a formal meal. It was a covenant of salt, and it's still practiced in the world today. Two people will sit down with a meal that has a high salt content, and they'll commit to each other in their lives. The commitment was there for one another. It was called the covenant of salt. So the people in the first century, when they sat at the feet of Jesus, they would have had that in the back of their mind. When Jesus was asking them to be salt of the earth, Jesus was saying, I want you to be salt with your mouths in your relationships, how you build your relationships with one another. Why? Because relationships are important. You cannot be an isolationist and a Christian. Is it important today? Yes, it is. It's important today, relationships. Why? I was reading some government stats last week. 8%, 4.2 million people last year said they were in a continual state of loneliness. 4.2 million. And if you look at the 18 to 25s in the same government stats data, if you 18 to 24s, 25% of them would say they were in a continual state of loneliness. Nationally, from the pandemic, mental health rose 63%. Do you think relationships are important? Yes, they are. Do you think Jesus, when he says, you are the salt of the earth, do you think he's charging you for us to make a difference in those people's lives? Those commitments to those people so they don't feel a part of the 8% or younger people as a part of the 25%. Clinical psychologists and sociologists say we're more isolated and more lonely than any other time in human history. Isn't that weird? When we've got social media, everyone can contact each other. You can FaceTime, you can do all sorts now. But we're lonelier than we've ever been. Loneliness affects not only our minds, it affects our physiology. Some researchers looked at the circumstances that affect people who pass away early. And they say, this is the stats. Living with air pollution increases the odds of you dying early by 5%. Living with obesity increases your the odds of you dying early by 20%. Excessive drinking would increase your odds of dying 30%, and living with loneliness increases your odds of dying by 45%. I was shocked at those stats, but also, if you're like me, I added them all up. So if you're a heavy drinker who's obese, living alone in a polluted area, you've got a 100% chance of dying early. This is a life and death thing. This is mission. This is the needs in our community. And Jesus is very serious about relationships. He's always serious about relationships. He built relationships with an odd band of disciples. His relationships were so important, he was willing to be beaten beyond recognition, to be crucified to a cross. Why? Because he wanted us to have a relationship with God. He's serious about those relationships. If we think about these relationships and these examples, we then look at our lives. We say, oh Lord, but it's a crazy world out there. People don't want to know. But people do want to know. And it's important that we leave a taste in their lives, that they would want to know more about a Jesus who makes a difference. That means in our everyday living, leaving that taste at the checkout, on the bus, talking to your neighbors, you can leave a taste in another person's mouth. To give you an example, I'm driving at the moment a brand spanking new car. It's not mine, but there's a story behind it. The story behind it is my car needed to have two new shock absorbers. And they said, oh, you needed to phone up and we'll arrange it, we'll get back to you. I made 8 phone calls to the garage and they kept promising to come back to me and they didn't. In the end, the 9th phone call, I phoned the general manager. But I was very polite. I said, I'm sure you're really, really busy. And I'm sure you might have had COVID, you've got staff off, but you know, it would be nice just to have a reply. Leave it with me, sir. We'll order your shock absorbers and bring your car in. Arrange a date. So I arranged a date last Thursday. Took my car in. And as I arrived, 8 o'clock in the morning, they said, we're terribly sorry, they haven't arrived. Now, what's your reaction could be? You could be really angry, you've got up early, you've driven in, I have to drive to near Bridgewater to drop my car off. I just said, oh, these things happen. Shrugged my shoulders. Oh, so thank you very much. We'll make sure you have a car. And they gave me this tiny little Fabia. That's fine, thank you very much. It'll all be done. We're ordering them today. They'll be in tomorrow. We'll get them all done tomorrow. Turn up at 5 o'clock. Your car will be ready. I turned up the next day, 5 o'clock. My car isn't ready. Ever so apologetic. You could tell as I walked towards the desk, the poor receptionist was looking really frightened. I'm going to get cross. I said, what's the point? These things happen. It's not worth getting upset about. Oh, thank you for being so considerate. If you brought our car back, I said, yes, we're going to give you a better, bigger car. I haven't told them I've doubled the mileage on that car already in the last 24 hours. But it's about being salt, isn't it? What's the point of getting upset and angry with someone? It's about just being considerate. There's obviously reasons behind it. And we do that in our daily life, saying thank you to folk. Going out of our way to say thank you makes all the difference. Just being there when you see someone who's upset, you say, is there anything I can do? Do you want a listening ear? It makes a difference. It's being salt. Jesus is serious about us being salt. In your words, in your presence, it can make a difference. I found more evidence of loneliness in a book written by Philip Salter called The Pursuit of Loneliness. And it's a short passage. He says, we seek a private house, a private means of transportation, a private garden, a private laundry, DIY skills of every kind. Our enormous technological advances seem to have set it itself in the task of making it unnecessary for one human being ever to ask anything of another in the course of doing their daily business. That was written in 1970. We've had 5 decades of getting worse from there. 1970, we've been on a track for hyper-independence, looking after number one. No wonder the stats are as they are. Nationally, we're in a relationship pandemic, country of isolationism, where we're not connected. That's why you as a church, you as individuals, are so important in this community. You make the difference. Since the pandemic, of course, the church has gone online. A lot of churches still are online. And it's very convenient. You can get up late. You can wear your pajamas to church. Make the coffee whenever you want to make coffee. You can switch off the sermon when you want to switch off the sermon. Put it back on when you want the hymn back on. You've got that freedom. But my friends, you cannot build relationships. No matter how much people go on about the online church is here to stay, you cannot build authentic, living relationships that need multiple people face to face. What was a real joy this morning was when I was here at the front, was the hubbub of noise of you talking. That's what it's about, sharing with one another. You are the salt of the earth. If the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? Jesus has a strong warning here. Jesus knows that strong, authentic, healthy, connectional relationships is the key. And he knows that the enemy wants to destroy that. A couple of other more passages. Mark 9, salt is good, but if it loses its saltiness, how can we make it salty again? Have salt amongst yourselves. Be at peace with one another. See the correlation? Being at peace with one another, it's about relationships. And you see a progression. And in a minute we'll see the progression of light. But here, also another passage, Colossians 3, verse 6, let your conversation always be seasoned with grace and seasoned with salt, that you may be able to answer everyone. Why? Because it's about relationships, how we interact with one another. I had I was listening to a great sermon a few weeks ago, and the preacher was preaching on the danger of the tongue and about criticisms. And he said, you've got to be very careful what you say. It's always got to be seasoned with goodness. So he says, I know you're all going to go home and criticize the sermon. But he said, think about it. What has God been saying? I just leave that with you. Be honest, I don't always think about it day by day about being salt. But I want it to be salt as I speak to people, as I share with people. That making the most of every opportunity. And those opportunities come. It came when I was renewing my wife's car insurance just the other day. The phone phoned up to renew a car insurance. The person on the other end said, oh, what's your name? So I told him, have you got a title? I gave them my title. And they said, oh, I've got a question. Jesus in the wilderness, what was all that about? He said, I learned that at school. He says, I'm a Muslim, but I don't understand. We were on the phone for 10 minutes talking about Jesus. It was being recorded. Is that great? But making the most of the opportunity. And he said, thank you. He said, you've been so kind. He said, you've answered one of my questions and you've renewed the car insurance. It's making the most of when Jesus gives us those opportunities. Very quickly, practical suggestions of how to be salt. Be present. Be regular to church meetings, church gatherings. Make it a priority. Don't just say, you can engage in social media. It's not all bad, but primarily meet together. Psychologists say that social media is simply creating people behind masks, and we don't want that. Jesus doesn't want people behind masks. He wants people face to face. He wants you to be able to speak words of life. Or ask questions, people to ask questions, how are you doing? Secondly, be open. It gets hard. It's been tough in the last couple of years. Be open with how you are, where you're feeling, about your anxieties, your fears, your concerns, your hurt, your pain, where you're going. Be open. That builds authentic relationships. The third thing is be safe. If you're the person they're confiding in, make sure they can confide in with you with complete confidence, that they can feel safe in doing that. Too many relationships are broken out with people breaking confidence and just say, oh, did you know? It's not about did you know. It's about what is God saying? How is God using you? Be confident that you can share that with one another. I'm just going very briefly, time's pressing on, light. What about light? If salt is being the taste in the mouth, light is being the image that you leave behind. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand and gives light to everyone in the house. Notice that this passage again doesn't talk about the individual. It talks about the plural. It talks about a town. It talks about a city. It doesn't talk about an individual on a hill. It's a reference to the light is not to a person, but the light is to be shared to everyone in the house. And let's be honest, the church is declining nationally in the country, particularly if you saw the graphs. In certain denominations, it's going like that. In the Baptist, it's going down, but it's not going down at such a steep angle. We're hoping, we still have hope to be able to take it up and for church growth to continue to happen. In some of the Pentecostal and house churches, they're actually going up as well. But the church generally is declining. The enemy would be happy for us not to be a light on the hill, to be able to put our light under a bushel. But God wants us to shine as lights. What does it mean to be light? John says light shines into the darkness. The darkness has not overcome it. Light shines into the shadows. And there is darkness in our world today, in our communities. Of course there is. For some, there's darkness. Darkness is the norm. Did you know that 46 million people in the world still live in slavery? More time than any other time in the history of the world. 46 million under the yoke of slavery. Thousands have lost their lives in Ukraine. Suicide rates are up at the highest. More people are dying of cancer because they haven't been able to get the treatment than ever before. We live in a dark world. We live in a world that needs to see the light, and we are the reflectors of that light if we're serious about being salt and light. When we're properly salt in the community, what we create is so unique that people would want to be drawn to that light and to be able to share and to know what makes a difference. Yesterday I was walking with a friend. He's a Christian writer. He's a Baptist minister. He's written, 30, 40 books. You can find them on Amazon. Some great prayer books. Someone called Nick Fawcett. And I was walking with him yesterday. Nick's dying of cancer. Nick's only been technically given months to live. But he says, I'm not going to be beaten by this. He's an incredible person of light to everyone around him. And he says, no good moaning about it. If it's going to happen, it's going to happen. I'm just going to make the most of the life that I've got. And he just radiates. Every time you're walking along, oh, what an amazing butterfly. What an amazing, oh, can you hear that? That's a green woodpecker. Isn't that amazing? And this walk was, he didn't do all the walk. His health wasn't great. We took him a bit too far, he and his wife. We had to leave them. We walked 4 miles, left them at a place. When we walked 4 miles back, picked up the car to go and pick them up. But he wanted to do it because he wanted everyone to see he could do it. And he wanted to go on Facebook that people can see that he's done it. He's so positive. And if we can be positive in all the things that we go through, that makes a difference out there to people who see it. People see the light. Did you know, this is a quote I was told when I was a young person, and I've never forgotten it. Did you know the church is the only organization that exists for the benefit of its non-members? It's the only organization that exists for the benefit of its non-members. And we need to be light to those non-members. If we've stopped sharing the gospel, we need to ask the question, why are we hiding? What are we hiding? Be the light is not going to become because of a sermon. It's not become of some because of some rules or legislation. It's not going to happen because there's a church program that's going to let us be the light. It happens when we're the people of salt. And we just naturally shine Jesus. To be the light, we need to be, four things, very, 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 very briefly. Come to an end now. To be the light, we need to be someone who does not live in darkness. Of course, we're not perfect. But there was a great Methodist preacher, he was president of the Methodist group years ago, called Dr. Sangster. When he was president, he preached on holiness. And he said, live holiness, preach holiness, strive for holiness. If you don't want to live in the darkness, be holy. Do not give up trying to be Christ-like. Darkness will try to trip us up, be Christ-like. To be the light is also to be the guide to people out of darkness, to avoid judgment, assist others, be there for the broken people. You just don't know what they've gone through. Be the light unto them. To be the light is to acknowledge when we let the shadow slip into our lives, that we need to be honest Christians to be able to be open when we struggle and allow God to move and heal. To be light is the fourth thing, is to live a way in which God inspires others to give God the credit. For we are not the light, we are the reflection of the light of God. We're never to put ourselves on the pedestal, but God's church on the pedestal so they see God. Invest in relationships, child. Be present, be open, be safe. Resist living in darkness. Help others out of darkness. Commit in living in a way that inspires them to give God the credit. It's good to see new faces here today. It's good to see your faces here today. And I know that you as a church will be looking forward to the future and the vision of the church, and it's where you're exploring through this year. But whatever you do, wherever you go, may you be the Salt and Light Limited Company, serving Jesus, truly making a difference. Yes, sometimes it's messy, sometimes it's uncomfortable, but as a family you can walk it through with integrity, humility and honesty. May the Lord bless you. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Amen.